Now let's meet our candidates for Assembly Seat J. Kelly Boer, you have 1 minute, please, and then Lynn Anderson and I will have some questions for you.
All right, thank you very much. My name is Kelly Boer, and I've lived in South Anchorage for the past 17 years of my life, and I was moved to run for this seat when I really realized that in South Anchorage, we deserve better representation than we're getting. We deserve someone who's going to be an advocate on our behalf and someone who is involved in the community and who believes that, you know, going to community council meetings and taking that active role is really important. And I also think that in South Anchorage, we deserve someone whose priorities are in line with ours and someone who understands that things like public safety are important and who is willing to put in the time and the effort to get to know how we feel about things and where our priorities are before they're voting. And I think we just really in South Anchorage need a return to that sort of representative government who's really interested in what we have to say and who's willing to put in the time and effort to move our community forward. And that's why I am running for Anchorage Assembly and hope I can expect your support on April 6th.
Ms. Boer, how do you feel about Mayor Dan Sullivan's decision to keep the municipal budget $10 million below the tax cap?
I think, you know, coming from a middle-class family, being a college student, I understand what a budget is and what it means to live within that budget, but it also means that, you know, we should have priorities. And I think that, you know, taxing under the tax cap just to prove that you can is irresponsible, because especially when you're foregoing things that are crucial to our public safety, like rural fire service programs and police academies and different things like that. I think that before we start looking at doing that, that we need to make sure that we're covering the basics, and I don't think that that's what happened this go-around.
The mayor has predicted at least one more year of budget challenges. Millions of dollars may need to be cut. What do we do?
Well, I think every year, really, we're always facing some sort of budget crisis and whether, you know, we have to decide what our priorities are and what we're spending our money on. But I don't know if I would expect another year of budget problems, because, you know, this year when we were expecting to have major budget problems, we actually ended up with a $10 million budget surplus. So I think that really you can't really at this point predict how we're going to be next year. I do think that it's pertinent to start having this conversation as a community on what things we think are priorities and what things we think need to be cut. That way, when this discussion comes around, we're prepared as a community to make those sacrifices and to make those cuts.
Pursuing that, what specifically do you think is our priorities, and what do you think are candidates for cuts?
I think that, you know, no matter where you are along the political spectrum, you know, everyone can agree that government is supposed to offer basic services, and those are things like fire and safety and good road conditions. And when we don't have those things being met, we need to start addressing that as a community. But as far as things that could be cut, I mean, everybody points to the school district budget. That seems to be a popular target. But I think that there are several things there that could be cut. I think there are also several different programs that we administer that maybe aren't worthwhile, such as, you know, the IM program. While that does bring in a certain amount of revenue, I think it's also a drain on the community. And I think that there are several different things that we as a community need to sit down and decide whether or not they're working for us. And it really needs to be a community-driven process more so than I think it is right now.
Thank you. Should the municipality actively seek alternative tax revenue?
Yes. I think that you know, it does come down to a matter of equity when you have solely the property owners in the city paying foot in the bill. And I think that we need to get serious about diversifying our revenue sources, and we need to be serious about lowering property taxes, because it is a debilitating cost for a lot of people and a lot of families in this town. And if we're serious about moving forward and being a city where people want to raise their families and people want to set down roots, then we need to make sure that we're not taxing them too much.
Do you think that that Anchorage is coping with its becoming increasingly diverse population?
I do. I think that, you know, every day we see a new business or a new restaurant that is maybe something that, you know, wasn't there before, and it's all taking in our diverse community. And I think that there are a lot of things that can be learned from diversity. And I think that, you know, our school district is a really good example of that. There are so many different languages and so many different cultural backgrounds that come into play. And it's something that our kids can really learn from. It's something that we can still learn from. And I think it's a positive thing for our community moving forward.
What can the Assembly do to improve the local economy?
You know, I think that there are a number of things that the Assembly could do. Just with the basics, we could, you know, streamline the permitting process and making sure that the fees that people are having to pay to start up businesses aren't insurmountable, because that is the number one deterrent to starting businesses, is when those startup fees are so big that, you know, you're questioning whether or not it's worthwhile. And I think that if we start doing that, then we'll start seeing more small businesses want to crop up. And I think that also, you know, incentivizing businesses to come in and be more innovative and things like that is also a good way for the city to go.
If elected, what is the primary thing, or say the top two things you would hope to accomplish on the Assembly?
I think that, you know, on the Assembly in South Anchorage specifically, I hope to bring to the Assembly, you know, a fresh perspective of someone who really is passionate about working for the people and someone who understands that their first responsibility is the people who elected them. And I think that we've gotten away from that a little bit, and people have a real disconnect between the person who's representing them on the Assembly and the people they see at their community council meeting every week and or every month. And that's not right. And I think that that's first and foremost is being a more active representative and getting a more active community out of that, because our best decisions are met and found when we have an active dialogue going on. But secondly, I do think that we really in this city have inadequate public safety and police forces. You know, any standard measure that you use, be it police officers per 1,000 citizens or response time, we're far behind in that. And I think that as a growing city, we need to make sure that we're offering that basic service, and we need to make sure that we can cope with all of the problems that come with being a growing city. And that would be one thing that I would hope to tackle on the Assembly, is making sure that those issues are met.
Thank you. How will you vote on the bond propositions?
I will be voting yes on the two public safety bond propositions. I think that the new ambulance to the Sand Lake area is fantastic. It'll help South Anchorage out a lot. I know just last year, actually, my mom broke her leg, and the response time on that was really scary to think that if it had been a really, really serious accident, you know, that could have turned out differently. So I think that's something that the community really needs, and it's something that I'll be voting for. I will be voting for all the bond propositions and the public transportation bond as well.
Do you have any ideas that what would be the best way to pursue the chronic inebriate homeless situation? Do you start to see more people holding signs in your district than before?
Yes, I actually, you know, driving here, saw someone on the old Seward Highway in O'Malley with a sign, and that's the first time I'd seen someone there. And I think that it's a serious problem for our city, and I was really encouraged by the debate that happened on the Assembly about the Housing First initiative. I think that's an interesting proposal, but I also think that it's one that sort of lacks an aspect of personal responsibility. And I think that, you know, taking experience from my father, who's worked in law enforcement for 15 years, there are a lot of these folks who we can't really help them unless they really want to help themselves too. And that needs to be a part of the equation. And how you tackle that, I'm not sure if I can give you the answer right now, but I think we require more of a public dialogue about it. And like I said, I was really encouraged by where the Assembly is going, and I look forward to being a part of that discussion and moving forward. I think that it's something that really does deserve our time and our serious effort.
Up to now, a lot of them have been centered in the Fairview area, the Mountain View area. Do you see them? Do you see your district welcoming Housing First facilities?
I think that it's not, you know, that gets back to how the Assembly has been in the past few years, being so provincial and trying to keep things that maybe like this would be seen as a negative to the community. But I think that really, when you're looking at this, this brings jobs, and this does bring a positive atmosphere, I think, to the community. So if there was a location that the community thought that this would be a beneficial thing for them, I would support that being in the district.
What do you think we learned from the equal rights debate of last summer?
I think we learned that a lot of people in this community have a lot of very deep felt feelings about this issue. I think that I personally learned the importance of having a civil discourse, and I think that that's something that we need to get back in touch with, because this, you know, political tit for tat that goes on in the assembly, no one really knows where they stand, and no one really knows who's, you know, lying, who's telling the truth. And I think that for a lot of folks, they just want an honest answer at the end of the day, and that's really what we need to get back to. And as far as the equality ordinance goes, I think that this isn't the last time we'll see something like this come up, and I think it really is just a matter of time. And it was something that, as the incumbent constituent, I was really happy with the way she voted. I would have voted yes. And I think that moving forward, when you talk about diversity, this is something that we need to put forth if we're really going to encourage that sort of diversity in our community.
Do you think the open meetings and public records law are adequate for protection in the municipalities' laws?
I do, and I think that open and transparent government is something that is really important, and it just gets back to whether or not we can trust our government in the direction that they're going, and especially since it is such a local government and Anchorage is such, I mean, it's a big town, but I always think of it as a small community growing up here. You can't go anywhere without knowing anyone, and I think that's an important character of our city is having open and honest government and being able to, you know, look back at the assembly meetings and see how people voted, and I'm really happy with how we're going as far as moving forward with technology and being able to view it on the web and things like that. I would be in favor of moving more in that direction with, you know, the work sessions and in different meetings like that. But as far as the openness and transparency of the city government, I think that we're right on track.
Thank you, Kelly Boer. Now let's go to Jennifer Johnston, the incumbent. I have a minute for an opening statement, then we'll throw some questions at you.
I'm Jennifer Johnston. I'm currently the assembly member from seat J. I've been in Alaska for 35 years and in Anchorage for 22 years. I ran 3 years ago because Anchorage and Alaska has been very good to both myself and our family, and I felt this was a time for public service. I ran on the platform of affordability as far as the government and sustainability of the government budget, municipal budget. I've been on the budget committee for 3 years, and I'm currently the chair of the budget committee. And I believe in a strong discipline as far as how we address the budget, and I believe in a 6-year fiscal plan.
With a sustainable economy approach and that discipline you just mentioned, discipline could mean denial. What do you see us denying as we approach what the mayor has described as an upcoming challenging year?
It worries me. You know, I've actually been very much in the process for the last year and a half of cutting, and it's not a fun process, and it was not something that I hope we never go there again. And so when I say sustainable, what I feel is what we need to do is we need to really address what our needs are and try to do them as efficiently and effectively as possible, and see if we can sustain that. Sometimes there's a gray area between wants and needs. And sometimes, you know, when you're sitting on the assembly and we're about to go through the first quarter budget amendment process, and you tend to have people coming up in front of you who have some kind of wish list or some kind of really great idea, need, either it's an actual need or just a perceived need. And as they are testifying, you have to think to yourself, is this, first of all, is it a need for the community? Is it something that we can fund? And even though we might have 50 people here that are currently in the audience or in the chambers that want this, are there 50,000 people behind it that want it also? And that's...
Do you have a specific example? Or some examples.
You know, we've had, there's always been, I think one of the examples, and it is, and it's a wonderful program, Access Alaska has come up before us. And I don't mean to pick on them, but they have come to us during the budget process now three times. And it's been, we have a process within the Department of Health and Social Services for grants, for nonprofits, for social service nonprofits. And it's partnered with United Way. And they have either not survived that process or have chosen not to do that. And what they do is they come before the assembly in the budget public hearing process and ask for funding. Each year they have gotten some funding for their program. But that is above and beyond and outside the budget process. And I've had issues with that.
What was the biggest surprise to you about going from private citizen to a public official?
I won't lie. It's a huge learning curve. You know, I've known you from days back in Fairbanks, and we were all very politically active and all very naive at times. And I've always been very aware of politics. I'm not coming completely naive or outside of the system, but a municipality is an interesting thing to run. And Title 21, I'm now part of that committee, and the learning process of that committee, and learning the nuances of verbiage. The budget, besides that I feel it's important for the sustainable budget that I'm on the budget committee, one of the best ways to get to know the fabric of a city is through the budget. I'm not lying. I come home from meetings, talk about recycling paper, you know, it's worse than being in college. It's stacks and stacks of information. You really have to, and you can't consume it all. You know, I cannot read everything that comes my way, but you have to, you know, and so you do have to pick and choose sometimes what your issues are. But it's a huge learning curve.
Thank you. Len?
You have a phrase in one of your commercials, and it's been a low, I think, from years past, a rather low-budgeted campaign mm-hmm. that you two have been waging, but you have not beholding to any special interests like unions to that effect. That actually prompted me to go then back into the APOC listings, and I discovered some candidates who have quite a few contributors from the building industry, the management groups, realtor groups, all concerned with Title 21. At what point does that become a special interest?
And, you know, and you're right. And actually, I just got the endorsement of the realtors. And there could be a conflict there. I would declare it if it was something where they changed my philosophy or my thought on Title 21. With the unions, I felt that it really is a conflict if you are a deciding body on union agreements. To me, it was a conflict to take money from a union or to be endorsed by them. I didn't mind being endorsed. I've always said when I've gone up in front of their interview committee that I'm a cheap date. But I do think that for a budget, that would bother me. The realtors have not talked to me about Title 21. I think with Title 21, besides just learning the process, which, as I say, is a huge learning curve, I've been trying, and my intent on Title 21 is to make sure that the verbiage is as objective as possible. I think one of the little bunny rabbit trails we get into in Title 21 is when you get down into subjective terminology, and then you start seeing, now let's see, it was a discussion on Quonset huts. Now, personally, coming from Fairbanks, I like Quonset huts, but there's...
How many are left in Anchorage?
Well, they're not legal in Anchorage.
Oh, I'm the last to know. Is that
right,
the way that
right.
works?
But, I mean, there are some very interesting ones in Fairbanks that had dormers on them, and they actually became quite attractive. To me, that was attractive to other members that wasn't attractive. And so when you start using verbiage, you know, or adjectives like attractive or things that aren't something that's objective, that's something that in the permitting center they could look on a graph or on a sheet of paper and say, this falls into this realm or this falls into that realm. I don't know because I'm not sure if it's pretty. That is what I've been doing, Title 21, in my limited capacity.
Something a little different. How are you going to vote on the bond propositions?
I'm going to vote for them. I think, you know, I think the administration did a good job as far as what they put on the table. They're not overly ambitious. I did have some questions about the ambulance. Not that it wasn't needed, but you have an $800 operating and maintenance budget to it. And that's, you know, that's a lot of money. And that was why it didn't pass when it was on the ballot 2 years ago, I think it was. But I do know as far as the ordering of the ambulance and getting the ambulance in place, it is going to be at the tail end of 2011, and at that point, hopefully we can afford it.
What do you think we learned from the Equal Rights Amendment debate?
You know, that's a tough one. I'm not sure. When it was first brought up to me, it was brought to me as a resolution. And I was very comfortable with the resolution, and then it turned into an ordinance. That was, to me, just a very sad and divisive time in Anchorage. And it opened up a lot of wounds that are we bearing the wounds, or did we open up wounds that maybe wouldn't have been there if we hadn't brought it up? I probably would make some people concerned when I say that I think it's a generational issue. I don't think it's as much of an issue for our children. I hope someday that we come to a point where we don't have to have an anti-discrimination law. We don't have to spell out what discrimination is. That would be my dream.
And for those who don't know, what's the difference between an ordinance and a resolution?
A resolution is basically, unless it's with the budget, is non-binding. It's just saying that I'm in support of something. Statement of principle. Okay. And we have a lot of resolutions. Sometimes we spend a lot of time on resolutions, and which don't really say a lot sometimes, and not as much time on ordinances. But that's a personal peeve.
Lynn?
How much can the Assembly do to improve the local economy?
You know, I think what we need to do is have stable government and stable taxes and stable budget, sustainable budget. It's the best we can do. I think we can streamline some of our permitting. I think this current mayor is looking at reorganizing the permitting department. I think that's good. You know, it's interesting. We've all been through a interesting 35 years, and a lot of things have been publicly funded through these 35 years. And when you have public funding, sometimes there's a degree of separation between the issue and the population. And you start hearing things like somebody should do something about it, because you're disconnected from the fabric. And I think when we get too involved publicly, we lose our aspiration index. We lose our individual responsibilities and our individual dreams and our individual creativity for business sometimes. And so I guess I would say, you know, by making less government and more community, I think would be a great place. And the other thing I'd have to say is energy. Energy is probably our biggest issue as far as economic development.
Okay, thanks. We're going to run short here. Let's go into our final statements. Kelly Boer, you have 1 minute.
Right, like I said before, my name is Kelly Boer, and I'm running for the Anchorage Assembly in South Anchorage. And I think it's really important this April that, you know, we decide to move forward as a city, and that in South Anchorage we have the sort of representation that we deserve. And that means that we have someone who's an advocate on our behalf. And I think that it's important, and it's, you know, a duty of an assembly person to make sure that they are active and engaged in the community, and that means showing up to community councils. And right now we have a representative who, for whatever reason, doesn't think that that is a priority, and I would wholeheartedly have to disagree. And I think that when we have a representative who isn't, you know, fulfilling their commitment to our community, then it's time that we pick new leadership. And I believe that the way forward is with an active and engaged community, and I think that we need the sort of leadership and representation who, at the end of the day, they're going to be an advocate on our behalf, and they're going to be screaming just as loudly as we are about things. And I think that we've been missing that in South Anchorage, and that's the type of representation that I'm offering. So I hope to get your support in April, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer Johnston.
And I'm Jennifer Johnston. First of all, I want to thank Kelly for running a great campaign. It's been fun, and this is our last debate, and I've enjoyed having Kelly's involvement and having Kelly being engaged at a young age in this process. I think it's great. I've been on the Assembly for a term. I've gone through that learning curve, and I'm asking for your vote for a second time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, candidates.